The Houston Astros Radio Network.
The Astros trailing by one. That was the leadoff homer by Chris Davis, the difference in this ball game so far. And Steve Sparks and Robert Ford were very pleased to have one of the Astros dads in here with us, Chris Davinsky's dad. Mike, thanks a lot for dropping in with us. We love to have you guys in here.
Thank you very much for talking to us and giving us the time.
You got it. First pitch to Aoki, almost hits him. Coming inside, he ends up on his stomach. I want to ask you, Mike, and quite frankly, Chris is one of our favorites. I mean, he has been since he got on the team last year. Where did the discipline come from? I mean, we've seen the discipline with Chris, just a really hard worker.
It just started when he was young, very young, and being in the area. And I would tell him, you know, if you want to get into an education, you have to work hard. You got to do it all the time. And we didn't know what was going to happen out of it. It's just that we did it every night with me and Amanda and my wife, either hitting or pitching or something. We just did it every night.
Stayed outside. Aoki grounds out to first base. Springer at the plate now with one out. And you mentioned Shirley, your wife, who's in here with us right now. We've heard the story about how Chris developed his changeup, and she was a big part of that, right?
Oh, definitely. Most definite.
So how did that happen? With the hacky sack? What's the story on that?
Well, I would go out on jobs in between, and they would be doing their homework.
Okay.
And then after the homework, you know, they did put an hour, 2 hours in. They still waited for me to come in. And Shirley just said, well, we'll do some practice tonight. And it was the grip. He figured out how to do a circle change.
Did Shirley help him with that?
Oh, for sure. Most definitely.
That's great.
And she would just practice the zone. You know, keep the ball down. Keep it at the knees. And we had a little,
taped it out.
A little base, you know, a base and a door. We would do it against the door.
So funny.
Where to hit. Keep it the low as possible that you can.
1-1 count on Springer as Graveman delivers, and he hits one hard straight up the middle for a base hit. A line drive by Springer made him get the ball up there. It's a two-seam sinker type guy, and you got to get him to get it up, and that's what Springer did there with one out.
So did you guys go to a lot of baseball games as a family? I know you grew up in Santa Ana, Chris did, and not too far from Angel Stadium.
Well, our main thing that we went to, we would go to a lot of college games.
Okay.
We went to Cal State Fullerton, and we'd bring them in the dugout after the games or in between that we could, like Phil Nevins, guys like that were playing, you know, just different players, you know, and we got Brandon Tripp. You know, people like that won the College World Series, Miranda's, and we would sit around it and just watch it. But our killer was, we go from the seventh inning on.
Okay.
Because then we could get in for free.
You got to do what you have to do.
Yeah, we had to do what we had to do.
Good plan.
Because we had four of us, you know.
Josh Reddick at the plate, nothing in one count to the former A, as that pitch is smoked at the third baseman. It's caught. It's a double play. Mike, we got a quick inning here. We got to have you back next half inning. You good to stay around?
Yeah, for sure.
Not quite dark yet here at the Oakland Coliseum as Dallas Keuchel readies himself to face 8-9-1 in the order. The A's with a 1-0 lead. Home run by Chris Davis, the only difference so far in this one. Mark Canha, beg your pardon, it's Adam Rosales, right-handed batter, as we're joined by Chris Davinsky's dad, Mike, once again for the bottom half of the third inning. And what was your background in baseball? I mean, how'd you get the knowledge, the working knowledge to help Chris along?
Well, I was really a different type of athlete. I was a football player and a track runner, but I always thought that, you know, we could change it and do something different. And so we would go down to the park and watch, and a lot of my friends were baseball players. So I said, you know, let's take a shot at this and just see what he can do. And when he was younger, you know, playing T-ball and everything, he was a little bit of a standout already. When his play was very aggressive, he would, you know, be quicker than the other kids at that particular age. Mm. And then I started talking to people, and then, you know, we just, a lot of things came in play as far as our, what are you going to do? Are you going to go to high school and play baseball? Are you going to go to college? Let's try to do something with this. So we stood with it. And we said that we've seen that he can play. Mm. And he picked it up early. And then we would take reps all the time. And they had reps in between with them. And they would play tag with the ball. And it was just, it came to be a family thing.
And it was fun.
And
he got engaged.
And then he started getting engaged in it. You know, he started, you know, really liking it at that lower age. And then we went And then we went into this travel ball. And that's when you had to start stepping your game.
Yeah, you had right. to compete then. Rosales grounds out to shortstop. Now batting is Marcus Semien. It's a 1-1 count to him as Keuchel fires one low and away. 2-1. And for Chris, he was a shortstop.
Shortstop, yes.
And so he didn't really pitch a ton. No. Especially, I mean, even at Cal State Fullerton, not a lot of innings.
No, 26 innings.
Wow.
26
innings. So he saved those bullets, though, didn't he?
But they only brought him in sparingly. Huh. When he got beat up one time, that was over. Matter of fact, it was against Virginia. And they just, you know, they fired up on him. I mean, they were hitting the ball hard, this guy. I mean, they were hitting hard.
It happens.
That fastball. Yeah. So he said, you know, I got to change my routine and do something different.
And that's, that's when Mom's changeup came in.
Oh, yes. Big time.
It's a walk to Marcus Semien. Rajai Davis comes to the plate. He's 0-for-1, flew out to center field. Back in the first. We're in the bottom of the third inning. A's lead 1-0.
So, Mike, at what point did you start to think, all right, hey, my son has a chance to play professionally and maybe get to the major leagues?
You know, I kind of doubted that, major league. That was the farthest thing out of my mind. Uh-huh. The first thing was just to get an education.
Right.
But when they came, sniffing around and seeing scouts and stuff like that, you know, I go, you know what, maybe he has an opportunity to do something.
Right.
At least get something for his future or, you know, even further his education.
This could be two right here, not in time. Ground ball over the shortstop, Correa. He shovels to Altuve, but the return throw to first, not in time to get the speedy Rajai Davis. So it's a fielder's choice with him. Two outs, runner on first. As Davis, a threat to run at first, but Dallas Keuchel hard to run on. Have to keep an eye on that. Jed Lowry will come to the plate. Lowry, 345 hitter lifetime against Keuchel.
So, Mike, I know you're in the moving business.
Right.
Moving trucks, help people move in and out of homes and such. And Chris used to help you quite a bit.
All the time.
About how old was he when he first started helping you out?
At least 7 or 8 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
You had to move in the sofa?
No, he would do the chairs, cushions, you know, the lightweight stuff.
Right.
But what we really did, though, is we sold furniture out of the back of my truck. Amanda and my son and my wife, and we would go to all the dealers in Los Angeles to buy vintage furniture, and we would sell it to them.
Okay.
And it'd be 8 o'clock at night sometimes, you know, and then we would go practice, believe it or not.
After you guys did all that.
After we did all
that late at night.
And we just kept the truck running, you know, and it was like, you know, we just kept on doing it.
1-0 pitch to Lowry is shot through the right side. That's a base hit. Holding at second is Rajai Davis, so runners on first and second now with two outs.
Certainly helped. Reddick was playing shallow there, got to that quickly to make sure Davis didn't go first to third.
Unfortunate now, though, with the guy coming to the plate, Chris Davis. 5 home runs already on the season for Chris Davis. Shot one out to center field his first time up as the A's lead this one 1-0. What about Chris as a kid? He get in trouble?
Not until later in life, when everybody else gets in trouble. when he was a kid, it was all straight and narrow. Let's go every day. Let's do our thing until, like, you and me and everybody else, we turn our little thing on, and that's when everything else comes out with it.
Yeah.
And we were kind of, like, in a little rough neighborhood, too, in Santa Ana as well. You guys know that already.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't that bad. It wasn't really that
You know
bad.
What? You got to pick your friends. I mean, you got to hang out with the right guys, right?
Right. But it was.
And you have outside activities to keep you busy.
Oh, yeah. But we were constantly playing baseball, and that was the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, they would see us always practice. Well, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? You're not going to go nowhere. You're not, you know.
Really? Knocking him down?
A very negative, because their attitude wasn't there, you know, as far as education or going someplace or doing something. And my wife would always tell him, hey, you're going to go to school. At least go to school.
That's what moms are for.
Yeah. At least get to school. I mean, it didn't sound like very much, but it meant a lot to go to school.
Well, I got to say this. As Chris Davis hits into a fielder's choice to end the inning on the force out at second base, it's a pleasure to meet you. We really enjoy your son, so thanks for catching up, and it's a real pleasure to meet you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, on your radio, the Houston Astros Radio Network.
2-2, swing and a miss, struck him out on a slider, and that is the ball game. A's get a run in the ninth, but not nearly enough as the Astros win their third in a row And they beat the Oakland A's tonight by a final of 7-2.
Joined by Astros hitting coach Dave Hudgens, and a great finish to the series in Seattle. Get shut out the first game, but the last two games were able to put up some runs, 7 runs on Tuesday, 10 runs on Wednesday, and hitting with runners in scoring position, something that had been lacking early. We saw that in those games.
Yeah, I mean, the guys did a good job grinding out at-bats, fouling pitches off, and, you know, using the middle of the field a little bit more. You know, I think just a matter of time before the offense starts clicking, and, you know, we got a lot of confidence in these guys. And, you know, our offensive guys, it's a pretty long lineup. So, you know, as we go and guys get more and more comfortable with each other, I think we're going to be okay.
Isn't it amazing? It seems like it's contagious. Like when one or two guys start getting hits and runners with runners in scoring position, it seems like then all of a sudden it's an avalanche.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how baseball is. It seemed like that's how it is. And when you're not getting any hits and runs, it seems like you're never going to get anything. So, you know, it is contagious. Guys get confidence. You know, it's all about getting good balls to hit, getting something in the middle of the plate, having a game plan, and executing that game plan. So I think we've been doing a pretty good job of that the last couple games.
I had a stretch that just concluded during that Seattle series. Faced lefties 6 of 7 games, left-handed starting pitchers. How does that affect things in terms of offensively? Obviously, it's going to change who plays to a certain extent.
Right. Obviously, it changed the lineup a little bit. I think it's just you get used to who you're facing. I mean, we have faced some pretty good lefties, and, you know, it's a little unusual that many. We were expecting it. We knew it was coming up. It's the same thing. You got good balls to hit and keep it in the middle of the field and not try to do too much, and I think we did a good job of that.
We saw Jose Altuve get off to a slow start. I know he's a guy you generally don't worry about with the track record that he has, but when you see Altuve struggling, what is it? That is there anything consistent? Is there something that you generally see when he gets off to a slow start or is having a bit of a rough stretch?
Well, it depends on what it is. I mean, he was a little unusual because he was swinging and missing a little bit. You know, he's striking out more than normal. I think he had a little too much head movement and he had a couple things. He wasn't seeing the ball real well. And so he's going after some bad pitches and just missing some pitches. But, you know, once he started using the middle of the field and once he started letting the ball travel a little bit more and getting some better pitch to hit, and then he relaxed a little bit after he got a couple hits. And once he gets his confidence, I mean, he's going to have a great year.
How impressive has Brian McCann been? I mean, you look at what he did with the Yankees, and there's a lot of pulling. You know, the obviously the pull shift against him, but he talked about, I know this offseason in spring training, concerted effort going the other way. He has a home run into the Crawford boxes at Minute Maid Park, and it really seems like he's kind of changed his approach from what maybe it was the last few years.
Yeah, I know. You can get to Yankee Stadium and get a little pull happy, and then, you know, they get the shift going, and any ground ball you hit is, you know, an out. So you start trying to lift the ball a little bit and into those seats in Yankee Stadium. So he did a lot of work this winter trying to get back in the middle of the field, more like he was in Atlanta a few years ago, trying to use the whole field more. And, I've been impressed with him. He's really well prepared. He knows his swing. He knows what he's trying to do. And, we're expecting quite a bit out of him. And I know he expects a lot out of himself.
You know, it seems like what we've been hearing a lot about, at least publicly, about guys trying to hit the ball in the air more around baseball because you have all this shifting, and so hitting the ball on the ground generally doesn't pay off. Is that something that you and Alonzo Powell, assistant hitting coach, really try to emphasize with these guys hitting the ball in the air?
Well, I mean, we probably don't specifically say hit the ball in the air, but we want to hit the bottom half of the ball. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you hit the bottom part of the ball, staying inside the baseball, you're probably going to get it in the air. Because, like you said, with the pull side shifts and guys are throwing sinkers down and in, and that, you know, is going to induce a lot of ground balls because they shift, but they pitch into that shift too. So that's why we try to be disciplined and try to get balls, like say, in the air and try to hit the bottom part of the inside of the baseball. And if you do that and keep the ball in the line, hopefully good things will happen.
Dave Hudgens, Astros hitting coach. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Robert. Good talking to you.
Visit astros.com/radio to hear all your favorite players, up-to-date interviews, highlights, and more. Get connected with your Astros at astros.com/radio.